Love for you to open your Bibles as we start off our new year, 2026. In Matthew chapter 6, a very familiar passage of scripture for us. Focus is going to be around verse number 33, but we want to read from 25 through 34 for the full context. Verse 33, the one that's most familiar to you, says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." That's going to be where we give attention to today, seeking first his kingdom. Beginning with verse number 25, it reads, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, which is true, which is eternal, for your word that gives light, Lord, unto our feet. That, Lord, it illuminates, God, our path. For your word, O God, that is eternal and unchanging, able to stand against time, it is eternal. We thank you, Lord, that your word, when it is planted in our hearts, will produce a crop 30, 60, or 100-fold. That you will bring it to pass just as you have said you would. We pray now, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that as we have sang your word together, as we have read your word together, as we have prayed your word, we now, Father, ask that at the proclamation of your word, that your spirit will continue to illuminate our hearts and our minds. Help us to receive what you desire us to have, that, God, we might be strengthened to walk, Lord, in your favor. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about prioritizing to experience God's favor. Prioritizing to experience God's favor. Minister Godwin did a good job of reminding us, as well as other members of the praise team, of reminding us that the new year in and of itself does not bring about anything special. We know that for many, the new year is a time to reset. Isn't it? It's an opportunity to start over. I blew my diet on January 3rd. I waited 11 months to start it over again. And so now I get to reset and start over. Yes, an opportunity to set some new goals and to start some new habits. You know, there were those people that made some resolutions at the start of the year. Then there were others who were updating, if you will, their vision boards. And then there were some folks who were just acknowledging that it's a new year, and they're just hoping that things are going to change and get better. But you and I both know that nothing magical happens when the clock moves from 11:59 p.m. to midnight. If we remain in this earthly realm, we are the same individuals at 0:00 hours that we were at the 59th minute of the 23rd hour. Amen? However, the new year does provide the opportunity for us to assess and verify that our priorities are in the right place and to make the necessary adjustments as directed by the Spirit of God. So it's not that it's something magical that happens. It means that you slow down and acknowledge that there is a change. And there's something that I need to do in response to the change. Amen? 2026 reminds you and me that we are 1 year closer to the return of Christ. Amen? And if nothing else gets your attention, that should. For you don't want to be found wanting or lacking when your Savior returns. Hallelujah. And as you and I realize that He is closer to coming back, let's make sure that we have some things in order. This particular scripture that we read on today are the words of Jesus Christ speaking to some folks that had gathered around Him. And He began to talk to them about several things. One of them was you need to make sure that you have your treasure in heaven. Back in verse 19 of chapter 6, He starts talking about make sure you're making your investments in the right place. You need to make investments in heaven so that, you know what? Thieves can't come and steal. Moth can't eat it and destroy it. And you don't have to worry about it rusting away. He says you've got to put your stuff in the right place. And then He starts to deal with this idea of worry. The thing that consumes us when we start thinking about life and just living day to day. Jesus begins to unpack the concerns and He asks this very important question. He says, is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? He's helping us to be realigned in our thinking about what's important. Amen? So Jesus is saying, stop worrying so much about those things that are not as important as the things that you need to be concerned about, your soul. Amen. Because He says each one of us will meet our day when our time expires upon this earth. And it doesn't matter what you have eaten. It doesn't matter how you are dressed. Doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what kind of ride you're rolling in. On that day, when your time has expired, the only thing that matters is your name written in the Lamb's book of life. That when the angels usher you to the gates, and say, I've got brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so here. And they start to look down through the list. Will they find your name? Will your ID badge get you access into the kingdom? Jesus said, and that's really the important thing, is that you have a right relationship with me, because I am the only way to the Father. That if you don't know me, you can't get to God. And so he's saying, you worried about all of the wrong stuff. Your life is prioritized in all the wrong ways. You worried about things that you should not be worried about. And so let me help you get straight with yourself. In those verses that we read prior to verse number 33, Jesus just kind of talks about some very practical things, right? He talks about the lilies and how even though they don't have a job, they are still well-dressed. He talks about the birds and how he feeds them and gives them a nesting place. And he's saying that, and you need to understand that you are the crowning of my creation. That after I had created everything else, I took the time out to stoop down, bend down into the dirt, shape you into my image. And then I breathe life into you because you're important to me. And if I take care of the lilies and I take care of the birds, how much more will I take care of you? He says, so stop worrying about the non-essentials and prioritize your mind, prioritize your heart, prioritize your life so that you are giving attention to the right things. And so in verse number 33, he says, but seek first his kingdom of God, and his righteousness. And then he says, all these things will be given to you. Verse 32, Jesus makes that firm statement that says that the pagans, the people of this world, the people that do not trust God, run after all of these things that were talked about before. He said they run after them, chasing after them. He says, but your Father knows that you have need of them. Isn't that good news? God knows that you need food. It's essential for life. God knows that you need clothing. It's essential for life. God knows that you need shelter. It's essential for life. He said, because it is in what you need, you can be assured of this, I will provide. Amen. He says, so don't worry about what I promise to provide you, because I'm faithful and I'm trustworthy. And I'll hold up my end of the bargain. So here's a truth that I want us settled in on as we start to work our way forward. You and I are pre-approved in Jesus to receive God's favor. Amen. We are pre-approved in Jesus to receive God's favor. But to get the desired results of God's favor, we must prioritize our lives so that the things that are important to God become important to us. Amen. That even though we are pre-approved, If your life ain't lining up with God's will, God's desire, your access to the storehouse is denied. Okay? I know that don't even, you don't like that, do you? You don't like that. He'll still give us grace. He'll still give us mercy. But when we start talking about favor, I want the kind of favor that is reserved for me. I don't want just general favor. I want the kind of favor that has my name on it. Amen. He says he rains on the just and the unjust. Everybody gonna get some rain, whether you live in righteous or whether you are a hellraiser, you still gonna get some rain. Amen. Everybody gonna get some sunshine, whether you blessing folks or whether you cussing folk, you still gonna get some sunshine. Amen. But here's the difference. When God has favor on your life, the rain that comes in your life and the sunshine that comes in your life is going to produce a harvest in your life that it won't produce in somebody else's life. Oh boy, that'll preach right there. Y'all should have been throwing stuff. Because you're getting the kind of favor that God says, I see you, I know you, and you act like you belong to me. And therefore, because you have hidden your word, my word in your heart, I am causing stuff to be produced in your life and for your life that others just don't have access to. Amen. So you and I need to make sure that our lives are prioritized so that we then can receive the things from God, his favor, that we can receive from him so that we are walking in agreement with his will and with his desire. I love that last song that we sang. He is Alpha and Omega. He is worthy to be praised. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We worship you, O Lord, you are worthy to be praised. Oh, okay. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That means worship him, and then all these other things that I know you need shall be added to you, shall be given to you. Now, I got to tell you, it gets better, because in Psalm 37:4, God says this: if you will delight yourself in him, he not only gives you your needs. See, it gets better. He says, I will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in him. That's right. Not just one desire. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And so if you and I can make sure that as we move into this year, we start making the adjustments so that we can be aligned, making sure that the things that are important to God are important to us. And where stuff needs to be pushed away, we push it away. Where some things need to be put in the trash, we put them in the trash. Wherever adjustments are required, we are willing to make them. Amen. Amen. So let's deal with these two critical words. First, seek. First, seek. The word first itself means before you do, the idea is before you do anything else, right? In the usage that is presented right here, it's with the degree, if you will, of timeliness and of importance. Before you do anything else, this is what you need to take care of. Watch this. Jesus helps us understand this through a few passages throughout Matthew. He says, if you're at the altar offering a gift unto the Lord, and you remember that your brother or your sister has an offense against you, he says, first, before you offer your gift at the altar, first, go and be reconciled with your brother or your sister who has something against you. He says, and then come back and offer your gift. In other words, he's saying, first, before you come up here and worship me and talk about how much you love me and try to give me a gift, you go take care of the business that has interrupted the fellowship between you and your brother or your sister. Go deal with that and then come back and worship me, the one that you can't see. Go love the one that you can see and then come back and worship the one that you can't see. That's that first principle, right? So before you offer your gift at the altar, first fix that mess. Fix that mess in your heart between you and your brother or your sister. He says before you attempt to remove the speck of sawdust. From somebody else's eye. First. Take the plank. Wait a minute. Take the plank out of your eye so that you can see what? Clearly. Amen. Y'all out there preaching my message. Amen. Amen. You got a plank and you trying to get some sawdust out of it. Oh, Lord, that won't work, right? That's why he says first, deal with you again. Deal with you. I like this one. Jesus said, before you build, first, estimate the cost and make sure you have enough money to complete the construction. Amen. Oh, so if Jesus was here with us today and talking, he would say, before you go on the lot, looking at that tight rod, make sure. Do the estimate. You got enough. Wait a minute. Don't stop at just making the payment. Make sure you got enough to have insurance. You know, some folk will stop at the payment. Make sure you got enough to have insurance. You get insurance long enough so that you can get your tag and then you drop your insurance. Lord Jesus. You stay away from me. You the reason I got to pay for uninsured motors. He said, not only make sure you got enough to make the payment, make sure you got enough for the insurance. Make sure you got, this is gonna mess with some people. Make sure you got enough for the maintenance. Yeah. Cause those vehicles are designed to run for a while, but they require maintenance. And if you ignore it, you will pay the price. Amen. But Jesus is saying, make sure that you've got in this before you build, before you buy, whatever, do the estimate and make sure that you can handle the cost of what it takes for you to do the work, right? Then he said, this is what Jesus was talking about when they accused him of being Beelzebub. Remember, you know, they accused Jesus of being the devil because he was casting out demons. He had a statement as he was explaining to them that no house divided against itself can stand. And then he said to them, bind or take the strong man's possessions, you must first bind the strong man. And so he had this thing of first, before you do anything else, this is what you need to take care of first. Before you run after or chase anything that this world has to offer, remember that your Father in heaven has promised to supply all of your needs. Therefore, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Amen. So first means that you do this before anything else. I'm chasing hard after God. This idea of seek has to do with looking for, desiring or inquiring into, searching for it with diligence. I'm seeking it earnestly and tenaciously. I'm searching after the desired thing, and I'm sparing no effort nor expense. I'm investing the time, the energy, and the resources to go after this thing that I want. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Pursue it diligently. Pursue it earnestly. Pursue it tenaciously. And don't let anything else get in the way, because you understand that both the kingdom of God and his righteousness are valued to the highest degree. So you say, I'm willing to make the necessary sacrifice. I'm willing to make the necessary investment to pursue his kingdom, because here was the promise that Jesus made at the end of verse number 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what did he say? All these things will be given to you. They will be added to you. So if you make seeking his kingdom and his righteousness the priority, all the other stuff that you need, he's going to make sure that you have it. Amen. Do we believe that? Okay. So here is where we're trying to get to. Minister Godwin was talking about earlier how some of us are taken from 2025 into 2026. Some of the same stuff that weighed us down in 2025. And she talked about how God is able to provide whatever that we need. However, if you're not walking in faith, you cannot receive from God, because he has called us to walk in faith. To walk in faith means that I believe God and what he has said. I believe that God is able to do what he said he can do, even if I don't know how he's going to do it. I just believe God because God said it, and that's enough. And if I believe him and I act like I believe him, God is going to move in my circumstances to do what he has promised that he will do. My job is to keep believing and to keep acting like I believe, and to not waver back and forth. I believe today, I ain't sure tomorrow. Oh, it's another day, I can believe. Oh, the sun went down and came back up. I just don't know. He taking too long. No! Stop wavering back and forth. She was right. You won't receive nothing. I know that word. You won't receive anything. You're wavering back and forth. But you've got to be resolute like Abraham, the father of the faith, who in the face of adversity and difficulty and saying, I don't know how God is going to do this, but all I know is that this Yahweh that I serve, this great Jehovah that I serve, has all kinds of creative power in his own being, because he was the one who called out of nothing and it appeared. He is the one who can call that which looks dead. He can make it alive. So all I know is that he is more than able to provide. And so I become anchored in his word. I may be pushed by the wind of adversity that comes from the enemy. And as I'm being pushed, but because I'm anchored, I'm not uprooted. The wind does nothing but make me stronger. Hallelujah. And as I persevere on standing in the word of God, I am giving him the opportunity to fulfill his word and bring fruit out of my life. I'm giving him the opportunity to let his favor rain down upon me and show the enemy of my soul that I am one of his favorite children. Hallelujah. Amen. But the key is, we cannot be wavering back and forth. We've got to stand on God's word and act like we believe what God has said. So Jesus said that if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that if you pursue that with all of your heart, if you make it the first thing, he said that if you worship him with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, he said that if you do these things, he says that everything that you need will be given to you. Now, here's how you and I apply this. That when we have needs that come up, right? Jesus already said, don't be worrying about stuff that you need. When you have a need that comes up, you take that need and you lay it before the one who is able to provide, with the expectation that he who is able will do it. Now, this is important. Don't do it. Amen? Because you don't have the mind of God. You are not the Alpha nor the Omega. You don't know how the plan started. You don't know what he's going to do to work it out. So don't be telling him, do this. Y'all know how we pray. We be giving God all kinds of instructions in our prayers. And then when we praying for people, you know how it is, we praying for people sometimes? We be giving, praying to God, but trying to give them instructions. Okay. I've heard people, not people here, I've heard people pray for other people like that. They're praying, talking new God to God, but if you're not careful, they actually talking to the individual that they are praying for. In other words, they trying to tell that person what to do and pretending like they praying to God on behalf of that person. Ooh, that's messy. You and I, we go to the one, when we have a need, we go to the one who is able to meet that need and lay it before him and give him the freedom to meet that need however he chooses to meet that need. But where we are simply believing that he will meet the need. Doesn't mean that I don't act. Doesn't mean that I don't do anything. He has given us minds for which to operate, right? So I pray for wisdom, and sometimes he gives us insight as to what to do. And when you know that it has come from the Lord, what do? You act on it, because faith without works is what? Dead. I prayed about it. God has given me some wisdom and insight. I go and do what God told me to do. Watch this, and nothing more. I stop when I've completed what he said do, and I wait for the next set of instructions or for him to deliver. But again, here's the key. Operate in faith. Standing on the word of God as it has been revealed to you and believing that he is able to do what he said he would do. So prioritizing our lives so that the things that are important to God becomes important to us. Means that there are some things that you and I have to lay down, right? And if you really want to know where your priorities are, start to look at your calendar. Where do you spend your time? Not just your working time, where do you spend your time? It starts to show you what your priorities are. Start to look at where you spend your money. Where you spend your money shows what your priorities are. What are you doing with the gifts and talents that God has given you? How you utilize your gifts and talents that came from the Lord shows you where your priorities are and what you're committed to. And so you and I sit back and we sit before the Spirit of God and we begin to look at our calendars. We begin to look at how our spending patterns have been. We begin to look at how we are serving others, and it will reveal to us what's important. And we'll have an opportunity to see if how we're spending, how we're serving, what we're doing is lining up with what's important to God. Am I investing more of my money in buying things than I am in loving people? Amen. Do I see needs among those that I love and tell them they can wait because I got to have this gadget? Remember, God valued people so much so that he sent Jesus, his beloved son, to redeem us from an empty way of life. And so you and I, we too then have to love people. Amen. It's lining our lives up with the things that are important to God. Jesus was asked the question, what's the most important commandment in the Bible? Jesus responded, the most important commandment in the Bible is this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he said in the second one, is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so when you start to look at your priorities, do they line up? Are you loving God? Do your priorities show that you love God more than the things of this world? Do your priorities show that you love people more than the things of this world? And if they don't, it requires an adjustment. Amen. Whew. Glory. Walk with me for just 1 minute. Young rich ruler, you remember this guy? He came up to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. Do the commandments. He said, I've done all of these since I was a youngster. Jesus said, well, you're still missing one thing. He said, go sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and then come follow wasn't the answer that the young guy wanted to hear. For he had lots of wealth. And from what we read in that story, he walked away disappointed that Jesus wanted him to sell all of his stuff and give it to the poor and follow him. The right priority would have been your possessions never trump your relationship with God. There is nothing that you own, nothing that you possess that you should give greater value than your relationship with God and your obedience to him. Amen. Nothing that you have should get in the way of your obedience to God. So your obedience to God becomes a priority in your life. God, I'm going to do what you tell me to do, even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. You remember Nicodemus, don't you? Nicodemus was one of the religious rulers who came to Jesus by night. And he said to Jesus, we know that you are a teacher because the things that you do, you've got to be from God. Nobody else can do these things. Jesus begins to unpack for Nicodemus that you've got to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, how can a man my age be born again? Can I enter again into my mother's womb? He said, that don't make sense. And Jesus says, no. You've got to be born of the Spirit to be born again. Unfortunately, what we read in that particular section is that Nicodemus says that's too much. And he walks away. And you cannot make your position that you've been operating in all your life of higher value and priority over the new revelation that God gives. If he says to you, you've been going the wrong direction in this particular area, please, please, please don't argue with God about you've been doing this all your life. Amen. He knows. Don't argue with him. He's trying to prevent you from going any farther in the wrong direction. And your job, my job, is to make listening to the voice of God a priority so that when he says, change what you're doing, you change what you are doing. Don't be so steeped in any of your beliefs that you make them holding on to that belief or that tradition a higher priority than walking in obedience to God's fresh revelation. Amen? Let me give you one more because it speaks to time and service. You remember the story of Mary and Martha, don't you? Jesus had come to their home, him and the disciples, and Martha is busy preparing a meal for all the guests that have come. Mary, on the other hand, says Jesus is here. The healer is here. The chosen one is here. She takes a seat at the feet of Jesus and begins listening and receiving the teaching that Jesus was offering with all the others. Martha comes in and says, now, Lord Jesus, I'm in here working my fingers to the bone all by myself. And you see her? Why don't you just make her get up and come help me? In fact, Jesus, why even got to tell you to make her get up and come help me? I added that. But Jesus says to Martha, Mary has chosen the right priority.
and it will not be taken away from her. And because she has chose to use her time wisely to sit at my feet, my favor there is going to rest upon her. Because she has valued being with me more than anything else. And again, if you and I want God's favor to rest upon our lives, we've been pre-approved in Jesus. We've got to make sure that our lives, our priorities are aligned so that things that are important to God are also important to us. Okay, I'm going to sit down, but can I mess with the husbands for a minute? Can I mess with you brothers that's dating for a minute? Can I mess with y'all? Don't look around. I'm talking to you. Whoo! The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds what? A good thing. Glory to God. And watch this, and finds favor with God. Amen. But then the Bible also says that, brother, when you find that wife, you've got to love her, like Christ loved the church. He said that if you are treating her with disrespect, if you are being harsh with her, if you are not honoring her, that part about favor with God is put on pause. Because what you've created in your house is a mess. Because you have not aligned your priority of honoring God with what is important to him. Can I tell you that that woman that God sent you is important to him? And if she's important to God, can I just tell you, you better find some kind of way to make her important to you. Amen. If you're going around saying, I married the wrong one, go get you some soap, wash out your mouth, and stop saying that, because you will have what you say. Yeah, you be acting like you, it'll feel like you married the wrong one, because you keep repeating it. But if you can find the place where you begin to honor her the same way that God honors her and value her the same way that God values her, all of a sudden, God's favor is going to rain on your life. All of a sudden, that Proverbs 31 woman that God gave you is going to start producing for you in your life and helping you do some things that you didn't know you could do because you loving her the kind of way that God said love her. And all of a sudden, there's going to be a flourishing in your home. I like the way Psalm 128 said, you're going to be a drunk man in your own house. Hallelujah. That's what the psalm says, right? Because you're drinking from the grape at your house. And you know drunk men happy. You got to make the connection. That's what he's talking about. You're going to be happy in your house. I can't wait to get home. That's what you're going to be saying. The brother's going to be saying, you got one more game in you? No, partner. I got to get home. I got to go. Because now I'm making the things that are important to God important to me. And I'm aligning my actions to demonstrate that, God, I agree that, Lord, if this is important to you, it's also important to me. And then God's favor begins to reign, all because I've chose to worship him. I've chose to obey him. I've chose to love him. And I've chose to love those he's put around me in a manner that displays who he is in my life. And when I'm walking in that kind of way, God's favor overtakes me. Goodness and mercy chases me down, and they follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because God's favor for your life and my life has been pre-approved for us in Jesus Christ. If only we walk in obedience to him and worship him with all of our hearts, in spirit and in truth. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today that your word never ever returns to you empty. That it never ever returns to you void. That everything that you said you would do, you will do. Will you, by your Spirit, identify for us those things that do not belong at the top of our list? In any place, God, where we are investing time and energy, resources that are not consistent, that are not in alignment with, God, your will. It's not important, God, to you. Will you give us the strength to eliminate them? To stop spending time where there is no return? Will you help us to stop investing in areas where, God, you've not told us to invest? By your Spirit, help us, Lord, to prioritize you. Create in each one of us pure hearts. Renew in each one of us steadfast spirits. Restore to each one of us the joy of your salvation, and grant us willing spirits that will sustain us, so that we, God, can be prepared to experience your favor as we walk out the days that you have given us in this life. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.